So this is the moving forest. It has to be a trap, right?
More than likely. But at least we should be able to find water here.
It's a damn good trick. Never seen an oasis like this before.
Clay's eyes sparkled with admiration. But this was no mere oasis. It was a vast forest, the likes of which couldn't be found even in the heavily wooded regions of the north. The vista was more than just magical. It was close to miraculous.
What do we do, eh?
Unless we want to roast here, we have no choice but to go on. We have a guide.
Dee turned his gaze to Tang, who stopped a few yards ahead of him.
You have to do something for her. If you don't wake her up fast, she'll wind up serving the desert for the rest of her life.
There's nothing we can do for her at the moment. We'll have to take the desert itself out of action. For the time being, our hands are tied.
Ugh. Here you are, damp here, and you're completely useless.
At any rate, let's go. This trip's just about bored the hell out of me. I need me a bit of stimulation, I think.
No one had any objections, and there was little else they could do. Tay began walking again, with nothing to stop them. The party followed after her into the vast forest. As they entered the shade, cool air swept over every inch of them. They suddenly stopped sweating. Tay continued between the bowls and their endless verdant riot, her steps free from trepidation. It was obvious she was under someone else's control. Absent were the songs of the birds and the chirping of the insects. Apparently nothing lived in this forest save the trees.
Hey, Sodbuster. This is a hell of a place we find ourselves. You happen to know what kind of trees these are?
Pretty much.
Well, I feel so much better then.
This is a psi attack, right?
No.
Dee never took his eyes off Tay.
This is the real thing. But it's definitely under the desert's control.
What in the blue blazes does it want with us anyway?
Lance had been straining his ears.
That sounds like...
water! Seems this confounded desert might be good for something after all.
Only because it has to keep us alive.
With that kind of thinking, you're not cut out for anything but hunting.
Dee looked up. The colossal branches overlapped above them, forming a dense canopy. The reason it remained bright despite the fact that sunlight couldn't get through was because bioluminescent fungi clung to the bark of the trees.
There's something out there.
You're right. I can feel it. There are a lot of them, too. I just can't tell where they're coming from.
I'm sure we'll know soon enough.
Clay rested his right hand on his harp. After 10 minutes passed, suddenly a waterfall and pool appeared before them. The silvery ribbon of water dropped straight down from a height of 30 or 40 feet.
This is nice. I'm gonna have me a swim.
But just as Clay made that carefree remark, Tay thudded to her knees. Strength draining from her body, she collapsed on her side. Leaping down from her vehicle, Granny raced over to the girl.
Is she okay?
Lance jumped to the ground too. Dee and Clay alone gazed at the dark blue waters that reflected the greenery.
Doesn't seem to be anything here.
Without a word, Dee rode his horse over to the edge of the lagoon. He didn't so much as glance at Tay or the other two with her. His left index finger went to his mouth. When it quickly came away again, a bright red bead welled from the tip of it. Turning his finger toward the ground, he pressed his thumb against it, right next to the bloody bead. A drop of scarlet fell between the waves, lapping at the shore, and then vanished in the blink of an eye. Dee watched the placid surface for a while, and then...
Looks like you can swim here.
Choosing a flat spot near the water, the group set up camp. By the time Lance finished taking care of the water tank, it was evening. But that only applied to the world outside the forest. Dee and his companions were still surrounded by the glow of the luminescent fungi.
That looks like the end of our water woes.
Granny gave a satisfied nod when she returned to the driver's seat from an inspection of the tank. Sitting by the campfire, Clay gobbled down the contents of a can of food.
Sure, but the long and short of it is, we ain't getting out of here till we put this desert down once and for all. We gotta do something fast. Where's this thing's heart, anyway?
If we knew that, we wouldn't be busting our humps.
Granny glanced out of the corner of her eye at Dee, who reclined against a rock some 10 feet or so away.
What did you do with Tay?
She's in the wagon with Lance.
Again? You're playing with fire there.
You needn't trouble yourself about it. I'm sure he won't let his guard down this time.
I'll take the next shift from him.
Let the wolf watch the sheep? Don't make me laugh.
A wolf, am I? That guy's 100 times more dangerous than me.
Clay's eyes crept over to Dee in the shade of a rock.
That one's had a different upbringing from you. Got a better character, too.
He's a damn peer. He's bound to get thirsty for blood sooner or later.
If he does, I suppose I'll just have to chalk it up to bad luck.
Have it your way, then. Hey! Come out here a minute. I gotta have a word with you.
Both Lance and Tay stuck their heads out.
My business is with the man of the wagon. I thought we could take a little stroll and chew the fat.
What, with me?
You got a problem with that?
No.
Then leave the damp here to watch the women and come with me.
Don't you hurt him. He was only looking after me.
Relax, Missy. I might not look it, but in warrior circles, I'm known as something of a gentleman.
Clay tossed his jaw in Lance's direction.
Dee! Granny! Stop him!
Let him be. When men get to quarreling, this is the only way to put an end to it. Now you stop for a minute and think about what it means if a couple of boys are ready to throw down over you. And once you're done doing that, get back to your sewing.
Dee.
Tay's last hope was bound to his name. But then she realized that her expectation wouldn't be met. There was no sign of the gorgeous youth in black anymore.
He's probably off checking out the area.
I'll go look for him.
She stepped down to the forest floor.
Now, just hold on.
Granny watched the back of the girl as she dashed off toward the rocks. The crone reached for the jar on her hip, but stopped in mid-motion.
Ah, to blazes with it. She's at that age, after all.
And then she turned to the two men with great dissatisfaction.
Unless the two of you are trying to see who can be the world's biggest idiot, you'll knock this off right now.
Going to the side of the rock, Tay looked toward the forest. Between the green leaves, a figure in black could be seen in the distance.
Wait!
As she cried out, the black shape melted into the forest. Before she could even think about turning back, her body was moving forward.
Dee!
Stopping where Dee had disappeared, she looked all around. 20 or 30 feet off to her left, there was a section of open ground, and Dee stood in the center of the nearly circular clearing.
Dee!
The girl was about to dash over to him, when...
Hide.
Frantically, the girl ducked behind a tree. Dee had become a statue. Though she strained her eyes, Tay could see nothing around them. Perhaps only Dee knew what it was. At just that moment, something black bobbed up over Dee's head. Looking at it from a logical standpoint, the object dropping from above with incredible speed had probably slowed its descent at the end to lessen the shock of impact. But to Tay, it seemed to just pop up instead. The slight glint the girl saw was like a blow to her heart. Cut in half around its middle, the dark figure thudded to the ground at Dee's feet. It was a stark naked human. However, the hands that grasped something metallic and the legs were abnormally long, reminiscent of a spider. Similar forms dropped from above one after another. Dee's longsword flashed out, and those it touched fell to the ground dead. A trio of figures that landed out of reach of the blade took to the air. They had incredible leaping power, but that was all they had a chance to show. Without time to use the weapons they had in their hands, they were split in half by the arc of the longsword. Dee moved lightly. A bloody mist billowed toward him, skimming by his body before it hit the ground. At some point, enough spider people had descended that their milling shapes blotted out the darkness. If they came at Dee en masse, even he wouldn't be able to stop all of them at the same time. Perhaps realizing as much, The figures creeping across the ground crouched as one. Before they could advance, they stopped suddenly. A horrifying aura had paralyzed them all. An aura which emanated from Dee.
Heading back?
The spiders scurried into action. They seemed relieved. For some reason, Tay felt relieved too. The bodies of the spider people floated up into the air. Although Tay's eyes couldn't detect what supported them, they rubbed their hands and feet together as they vanished into the treetops. No doubt the reason they seemed to be moving in slow motion compared to their earlier descent was because Dee's aura had slipped into their marrow. Suddenly, Tay realized that the two of them were alone.
Why did you come here?
At a loss for words, Tay then remembered what her original motivation had been.
Mr. Clay and Mr. Lance are about to...
She just realized Dee didn't have a whit of interest in that. What became of his fellow travelers was no concern of his.
How can you be so cold?
The words crept from her mouth unbidden. She had to wonder what her face looked like as she stared at Dee. She tried to regain some composure, but one after another, emotions seeping from her heart became words.
You don't care at all what happens to anyone else, do you? You're nothing but darkness and ice to the very core. No matter what anyone else thinks of you, you can just ignore them like some little puff of wind. I've heard that Dampiers have human blood mixed in with the noble, but that's a lie. You've got nothing but the cold, dark blood of the nobility flowing in your veins.
As Tay shouted at him, she shook. It felt like the blood was coursing through her body in reverse, and that it was going to freeze from fear. No matter who or what they might be, anyone who crossed this youth would be cut down. Tay realized for the first time what this vampire hunter really was. However, another emotion had welled up with her fright. And it was on this that Tay's consciousness became fixed. Tay spun around. If nothing else, she wanted to at least keep him from seeing her cry. Leaning back against a nearby bowl, Tay sobbed.
What happened in Castle Gardenia?
Don't come near me. Just go back. Leave me alone.
This is dangerous territory. Those things I just fought haven't given up yet. Cry as much as you need to, then I'll take you back with me.
Stupid hunter.
A powerful wall of black blocked Tay's path, so she pounded his chest with her fists.
Stupid. I thought you might be okay. I was so happy. Because a man like you could be a Dampier.
Which of the nobles fathered the child you carry?
Tay thought her blood would freeze, and that even her heart might stop. The girl tried to shut her eyes, but her eyelids wouldn't budge at all.
What are you talking about?
You're pregnant. Which of the nobles is the father?
I don't know.
Is it his?
That was all he had to say for Tay to understand. Out of the darkness, eyes that were fiery red points of light drew closer.
Is it his?
I couldn't help it, you know. What could I do? Either of them could have killed me with just one finger. I had no choice but to do as they told me.
When did you realize it?
Back when I was still in the castle. Do you know what month it'll be born? Ordinarily, it's supposed to take 10 months and 10 days for a baby.
Yes, ordinarily. In the case of this child, it'll be about 6 months after you notice the first indications.
As if to distance himself from something unseen, Tay took a step backwards.
What do you mean, in the case of this child?
If it's his child, your baby will be no ordinary Dampier.
What are you trying to say?
Let's go back.
No, tell me. What'll my baby be like? It couldn't be... just like you.
Something cold touched her cheek. Before Tay realized it was Dee's left hand, her consciousness had become one with the darkness.
An awful tale it is, but interesting still.
Dee caught the collapsing girl.
I wonder what road the girl will take. Anyway, those characters you faced just now have been keeping tabs on you ever since you were down by the water. That's why you drew them out here, isn't it?
That was a test, I imagine. For me.
Testing your abilities? What for?
Don't you know?
Nope. Come now. You know just as well as I do. This desert has a real nostalgic feel to it.
Dee put Tay over his left shoulder.
Just when and how did things get so crazy? I remember something a woman we met once said. She wanted to know why something so good had to end so badly.
Do you think this is something good?
I don't know.
By the time Dee came back with Tay over his shoulder, the fight between Clay and Lance had ended. Lance lay stretched out by the edge of the lagoon, spread eagle. His face was swollen to nearly twice its normal size, and his nose was a bit crooked. Detecting the hunter, she washed down a cooling cloth. Granny raced over to him.
She's fine. I just put her to sleep. She'll come around in about 10 minutes.
With a light flip of his black shoulder, he put Tay's body into the air, and an agitated Granny caught her. Dee took a quick glance at Lance.
He won, didn't he?
I'm surprised you could tell. That fool Clay is laid out in the bushes over yonder. The farmer gave it to him pretty good. But Clay's not all bad either. He fought barehanded to the very end.
Get everyone into the wagon. I'll stand watch.
Dee's eyes were on the floor of the waterfall all the while.
You mean those two yahoos too?
You can have them sleep outside if you like.
Well, I'll do just that. Good luck with the guard duty.
As Granny carried Tay in both arms and walked unsteadily toward the wagon, Lance got up.
Is she okay?
You needn't concern yourself with her, you useless thug. The nerve of you. Going off like you're something special and getting your good-for-nothing face beat purple in a fist fight. And just so you know, I won't hear of you asking me for the day off tomorrow.
Even after the old woman had vanished into the wagon with Tay, her ill-tempered remarks still hung in the air.
It seems you beat him.
Raising his head, Lance looked at Dee with a strange expression on his face. He couldn't believe the young man would bother to say that to him.
Back in the old days, I was a little hellion. Besides, you can't beat a farmer barehanded. Hunters and warriors came to my village a lot. And they taught me some fighting moves, too.
Sounds like you bit off more than you could chew.
Dee turned toward the bushes Granny had mentioned. The head of a shadowy figure was listlessly rising from them.
Was this about the girl?
Yeah.
You really went at it, didn't you?
I didn't have a choice. I couldn't just stand there and let them beat the hell out of me.
Well, that may be a bit of welcome news.
For who?
There's not a lot of men who'd get their face blown up to twice its normal size for someone else. I bet the girl's never met anyone like that before. I'll tell her what happened.
Don't bother. That's not what I had in mind.
An arm sheathed in black was offered to the young farmer, making his eyes go wide. Grabbing it by the wrist, Lance pulled himself upright.
So there you are, you lousy sodbuster.
Clay's massive body was carried closer by an uncertain gait. When his face came into the light, it was nearly twice as swollen as Lance's.
What you say to a rematch? I ain't taking no for an answer.
Maybe later.
Shut your hole!
Clay was about to grab hold of the smaller man when an arm in black restrained him.
What do you think you're doing? Let go of me!
Let him go, Dee.
Lance rubbed the back of his neck to loosen it up.
I thought I'd settle this once and for all, but if he hasn't given up yet, there's not much else I can do. Okay. Now swear to me again that if I win, you'll stay the hell away from the girl.
No problem. And Vampire Hunter D is my witness.
The figure in black stepped away from them. Clay took a swing at Lance. The warrior was stumbling over his own feet. After ducking the blow, once Lance heard it whistle through the air above him, he rammed himself headfirst into Clay's stomach. Clay landed on his back in the same spot by the water where Lance had been lying. Leaping into the air, Lance slammed his elbow down on the opponent's solar plexus with the full weight of his body. Something resembling water sprayed from Clay's mouth. His body shuddered and the battle was over.
There won't be any more rematches.
Lance nodded at Dee's remark. Clay didn't move a muscle. Getting to his feet, Lance looked down at his vanquished foe. In a matter of seconds, the same grin he'd worn moments earlier covered his face again. For although Clay's fierce countenance was contorted with pain, it was also etched with an undeniable smile. 2 hours passed. Even the activities of the fungi might have been governed by biorhythms, for a deep blue filled the darkness and enveloped the party by the water's edge. Dee set his saddle down by the campfire and rested his head on it as he reclined there. The men with badly swollen faces lay covered by blankets a few yards away. Had the moon been out that night, it was so silent that they would have heard its beams raining down. Dee mentioned the incident with the spider people to no one. His eyes were shut. The hunter might have considered himself to be the only one they were after. Or perhaps he was confident that if they attacked him there, he could carve his way through them. Whatever the case, as his gorgeous form lay at rest, there was no hint of tension about him. The wagon's door opened and Granny peered out from the driver's seat. She was about to say something to Dee when he beat her to the punch.
Get some sleep.
Well, I can't.
Granny hobbled down from the wagon and headed over to Dee rather nonchalantly. The jar on her hip swayed back and forth, though she gave the impression of being fiercer and more determined than the average old lady. Seeing the way she walked just then with her wrinkled cheeks and bleary eyes was like catching a glimpse of some gorgeous dancing girl's true face laid bare when the makeup comes off back in her dressing room. Surely there were nights when the crone felt an acute longing to open that fabric store. Circling around behind Dee's back, she took a seat.
Have some?
She thrust a jug of liquor at his refined countenance. It was the cheap sort of fruit spirits that could be found in great quantities at the general store in any post town.
No.
Oh, that's right. I must have mistaken you for someone else. About some of the things that were said to you today, don't take it personally. And I don't just mean what I said. From what I hear, Tay had some pretty harsh things to say too, right? Well, I'd like to make up for that. Kindly accept my apologies.
Don't worry about it.
Honestly?
Granny broke into a broad grin like a little kid.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. I didn't think you were a petty man or anything, but it's still a relief. We got a long ways to go yet, and we really are counting on you.
You should get some sleep.
Oh, stop trying to get rid of me.
The old woman wrapped both hands around her knees. Granny watched the endless ripples on the water's surface.
You know, don't you? You know about the girl, that she's pregnant, and there's probably a noble's baby. If someone doesn't fix it, she'll be having that kid sooner or later.
Saying nothing, Dee continued to lie there with his eyes closed. As to what sort of thoughts passed through his mind, no one could say.
What'll you do?
What's this? You're actually interested in someone else's fate? I'll take her home, of course. That's my job, after all.
In that case, you didn't need to bring it up at all.
Well, there are times I just feel like doing or saying something funny. I bet you get the urge sometimes to just lie out in the sun and get a tan.
She's not going to be very welcome, even back at her own home. Especially not if she's going to have a noble's baby. And she won't be able to hide that. It doesn't matter how strong anyone says she is. Strength probably won't be enough to resolve this problem.
You trying to tell me not to take her back? Because that's the one thing I simply can't do. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is my job. No matter what happens later, everyone's overjoyed at first, and there's coin in it for me. What comes next? Well, forget it. I'd just be repeating myself. You've already heard my spiel on the matter, and hearing it again ain't gonna make it any more interesting.
How's her sewing?
Seems to have a real knack for it. She was rattling away at it earlier, too. Not that I have a clue what she's making. So, what do you suppose will happen with her kid? It'll be a damp air, won't it?
If it's a noble's child.
I was wondering if maybe you couldn't look after it. You being a fellow Dampier and all. You could teach it all it needs to know from the very start. I mean, you're Vampire Hunter D, after all. It's not like you couldn't afford to feed a girl and a baby. I'm sure you, of all people, could find some way of making a living besides being a hunter, couldn't you?
Is that what you think?
Yes, indeed.
Then why am I still a hunter?
Because you're too awkward. Your pride won't allow you to mix with normal people and live the slow life. That noble blood is tricky stuff. No matter how you might bend your principles, or how much you might try to accommodate the world, you couldn't allow yourself to do that. I suppose it'd take, say, 100 years before you'd settle into it.
Why 100 years?
Well, what I mean to say is, if they tried it hard enough for that long, even a noble could wind up being agreeable to their situation. Of course, I'm not sure there'd be any guarantees where you're concerned.
Why do you think that?
You're out looking for something. People are always making a big deal about hunters this and hunters that. But if you ask me, they're all just a bunch of muscle-bound social misfits. There's only one thing any of them care about, being good at killing. When it comes to the worst of the lot, the killing is the whole point of it. Some have wound up plying their skills on upstanding folks. Others have been killed by fellow hunters. Take a peek into their dreams sometime. They're all either pitch black or blood red. And out of the lot of them, there's only one word you'll never find in their heads. I'm sure you know what that is.
I don't know. What?
Tomorrow. But you have it in you. Heck, it doesn't even matter whether you think you do or not. And it doesn't even have to be the word tomorrow. It could be dream or hope or rainbow or even love. Don't laugh. I tell you, there's a huge difference between those who are looking for something and those who've never had it. But in your case, I get the feeling it's something altogether different.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I can't even imagine what it'd be. But you're searching for something nonetheless. And I bet you could tell Tay's baby all about it someday, too. You should do that. Shoot, once I've brought her home. It's no skin off my nose. Run off with her if you like. There's a girl who'd be tough enough for a life of one road trip after another. And if she wanted to settle down when the kid got older, you could go back out on the road alone. After you've seen to it that the little one has a proper education, of course.
Sorry to say it, but there's someone else far better for the job.
Huh?
Granny's brows knit as she turned around. Under a lumpy pile of blankets some way off, Lance was staring at them.
Oh, spare me. You think a plain old farmer's cut out to handle a dampier? I can just imagine him trying to run away in the dead of night if it went after him. Even a dampier's real parents can't hold back its noble blood.
While it wasn't immediately clear if he caught the crone's remarks of bold-faced contempt, Lance got out of his blankets and lethargically made his way over to the campfire.
I heard your conversation.
His eyes were fixed on the flames.
Well, you shouldn't have. Dee, you knew he was awake and you still let him listen in, didn't you?
Of course, Dee kept his silence.
I don't know about all that stuff, but I've got a feeling I'm up to it.
Up to what?
Well, you know, making a life with the girl.
Sonny, you must still be talking in your sleep. You, a lousy little farmer of all things.
What does the girl's family do?
They're farmers.
Then it doesn't sound like an odd match at all.
That's right. Leave the baby to me. I'll help the kid find the life that suits him best.
The world's not as simple as all that. For the most part, Dampier men and women are gorgeous. As babies or even small children, they're goddamn cherubs. Heck, there's plenty of folks who'll try to get close to someone they know as a Dampier. But sooner or later, when that noble blood shows itself, the ones who butted them up with all that sweet talk are the first ones to take to their heels. And what the blazes are those they leave behind supposed to do, eh? You'll do the same, I'm sure of it. So stop trying to be so glib.
That's telling him, you old hag.
Lance and Granny turn to see Clay coming toward them.
She's a lot more than a lousy sodbuster like you deserves. Before this trip's over, you'll be dead anyway. Then anybody who wants to can woo her.
And you think you can win her heart? You might want to consult a mirror.
Granny's eyes then shifted to Clay's hip.
Say, does that weapon of yours have any use besides killing?
You're joking, right?
His right hand skimmed by his hip, and apparently the weapon could also be used precisely as its form suggested.
I got this beauty after killing a noble. Found it in his concert hall. Just look at her, would you? The strings are silver and the body's gold. And she plays music like you never heard before. Music that's pure heaven.
Then play something.
Excuse me?
Don't give us that sourpuss. You've gone and got our attention. Now why don't you play us a tune that'll tug on our heartstrings? If you can't manage that, a lullaby'll do.
Right. You're flat out of luck. I don't use it for useless crap like that. This little treasure keeps me alive. You think I'd play it for a bunch of scum like you?
Sure you wouldn't play it for her?
Everyone turned toward the wagon then. Even Clang. A tiny figure was crouched in the driver's seat. The eyes that looked at her held so many various emotions that Tay had to divert her own gaze from them.
You'd like to hear a tune, wouldn't you?
The girl's pale face bobbed sharply in reply to Granny's question.
Well?
Clay remained hesitant.
Oh, is that how it goes? The frontier's top warrior turns down a young lady's request. You can kill folks just fine, but can't even make one girl happy. I guess men aren't worth spit these days.
You'll eat them words.
He began grinding his teeth together as his whole body trembled with rage. It wouldn't have been strange if he'd unleashed an explosion of ultrasonic waves just then.
It's really more than your grubby little ears deserve, but I'll play you one of my best songs. Just don't get so swept up by my sweet voice you go and jump in the lagoon or anything.
Yeah!
Clay's rough fingers took to the strings. It was as if the white darkness gave birth to the sounds. Granny's smirk disappeared. The song was about a man and a woman who lived on the frontier. The man traveled and the woman chased along after him. And then both the man and the woman grew tired and settled down into their own lives without ever meeting each other. Long, peaceful days stretched by. And then one day, the woman suddenly recalled her old love and gave up everything to follow after him. High and low, Clay's voice flowed along the ground and danced across the sky in a way that made Granny's eyes bug out. His voice was so rich, his notes so precise. The warrior had undergone a remarkable transformation into a troubadour. Having laid the weary heroine to rest in the cold earth, Clay intoned a few words of prayer and then halted his fingers on the harp. As the men gazed silently at the pale and dainty hands the girl was clapping together, they realized she was weeping.
Damn, you're good.
Damn straight I am, hag. See, sodbuster?
Clay glared around the others with loathing before puffing his powerful chest out in Tay's direction.
How's that? Pretty great, wasn't it? Unlike a certain hunter, I got more than just looks going for me. Yeah, I reckon anybody with an eye for men could tell in a flash who's the best around here. How about it, Missy? Forget about going back home. Oh, that's right. As long as the sodbuster's alive, I ain't supposed to woo you. Well, don't take it too hard.
And having said everything he wanted to say, the younger Bulow went right back to his blanket, pulled it up over his head, and went to sleep. Turning to each other, Granny and Lance grinned wryly. Even Tay was smiling. Some people could prove useful in the most unexpected ways. For a long time, no one moved or said anything.
Why don't you get some sleep?
I believe I will. You get some shut-eye, too, sod buster.
Lance didn't move. Though he kept staring at her, Granny said nothing more to him and climbed up to the driver's seat.
Head inside now, Tay.
The girl didn't move. Granny's brow furrowed. Fine blue veins bulged to the surface. Shooting Lance a look he wouldn't soon forget, she hunched her back and disappeared into the wagon. Both hands folded neatly in her lap, Tay sat staring straight ahead. Seating himself by the fire, Lance wrapped both hands around his knees as he gazed straight ahead too. Tay watching Lance, Lance watching Tay. The flames of the campfire danced wildly and released a flurry of sparks. As Lance closed one of his hands around the other, they were both trembling a bit. The flames blazed, and Tay patiently gazed at the emaciated young man.
Stupid bastard.
Clay's hands crept to his heart. Something slim and white had zipped between his hand and the instrument, pinning his blanket to the ground. Even without seeing the finely honed tip, he knew it was a wooden needle. Rattled to his very bones by anger and horror, Clay then heard the steely voice of the one who'd hurled it.
Human or Dampier, no one knows what's going to happen.
Lance turned to Dee in astonishment. In the hunter's words, he'd heard the very thing he'd been struggling to say. I want to spend my life with you. An almost heartbreaking decisiveness surfaced on his face, and he headed toward the wagon. Dee's eyes thrust open and caught a glimpse of ripples on the water's surface. Black as the darkness, the hunter jumped up. Something whizzed loudly through the air, and whatever it was then splattered black blood all around him. When Dee looked back, Lance was pinned on the ground with what looked like a black spear protruding from his chest. The body of it stretched back to the lagoon, painting a gentle yet disturbing parabola that sank back into the water at one end. There was no mistaking what it was. A tentacle tipped with steel.
Lance!
Tay leapt down from the driver's seat as Clay threw off a blanket that had been run through as well. Several tentacles that had been severed by Dee squirmed away, but new ones shot from the water's surface, stretching for the hunter, Tay, and Clay. Forgetting her own fear, Tay raced to Lance's side, but the tentacle that impaled him instantly wrapped around the girl's body. Assailed by the agony of being brought tight with steel cable, Tay could barely scream, let alone breathe. But the second it jerked toward the lake, a figure in black blew in like a veritable gale and severed the tentacle. Tentacles continued to tear through the air to attack the group.
Get in the wagon.
Dee lent Lance his shoulder as he gave Tay a shove. Lance convulsed. The tentacle piercing his chest thrashed fiercely despite the fact that it had been cut off. The naked blade flashed out once more, slicing off its tip and putting an end to its movements.
Cover your ears and hit the dirt!
They watched. All of the fiendish limbs whirring through the air broke apart, reduced to shattered fragments, and then faded before they reached the ground. Not only that, but the rocks of the waterfall, the trees on the opposite shore, and even the now frothy water disappeared, robbed of their molecular bonds. Perhaps unable to take any more of this, what remained of the tentacles retreated into the water. There would be no further attacks from them. Clay's harp was truly something to be feared. If the sonic waves of death were only focused in an extremely narrow kill zone and not capable of being directed with an ease that was itself terrifying, then a monster moving as fast as the wind might be able to avoid them. However, the slightest touch of a single finger of the warrior's hand would send the deadly melody out at anything within listening range. Who could possibly defend themselves from ultrasonic waves that fanned out from the instrument breaking ritually any material down to its constituent atoms.
What in blazes is it?
Granny flew out of the vehicle. Trusting Tay and Lance to the old woman, Dee hopped onto his horse. Clay followed after him.
We're getting out of the woods. Follow me.
Leaving only his words behind, Dee galloped off. The wind snarled in his wake, but a second later, the strangest thing happened. All around them, the light rapidly faded. Even the glowing fungi were under the desert's control. Abandoning the path they'd come by, Dee shot straight through the forest. Throwing up a cloud of dust, the wagon and Clay followed close behind.
Dee, where are we going?
Granny was perched on the driver's seat, but the old woman's query was quickly obscured.
Here they come!
When Granny took a peek at her omnidirectional safety mirror, her hair stood on end. Once more, the surface of the water had grown rough, and tentacles began to rise from its depths. Beyond numbering, together they looked like a single gigantic tree. Every detail then vanished from sight for all of them. Darkness had claimed the world.
Damn it! I can't see anything!
Tay, break out the glow bugs!
Scant seconds later, a dazzling circle of light gave a bluish glow to the back window of the wagon and its surroundings. Yet the light wasn't strong enough to catch Dee's back as he rode ahead of them. Could Dee tell the way out in the pitch darkness? His super keen Dampier senses could. Dee had noticed an imperceptible sound coming from above him. He sensed that it was silently descending. Before the spider person had a chance to bring a blade down on Dee's head, he sliced its torso in two. The hunter's steel blade cut through the air in an arc, knocking back a number of would-be attackers on either side. They made not a sound as their deaths were instantaneous.
They're coming from above us.
Dee's words were replaced by the roar of a gun and its fiery trail, and something heavy seemed to be blown off the wagon. There was a repulsive thud near one of the tires. Tay had her arm out of the rear window of the wagon, holding the light-giving glow bugs out to guide Clay. When suddenly, long insect-like fingers grabbed her hand from above. Despite her screams, the fingers tightened their iron grip. The glow bugs fell. Thunder shook the vehicle's interior. The bullet of iron that had punched through the roof ripped open the Spider-Man's abdomen and hurled him off into the darkness.
Lance!
Forgetting the pain of her red and swollen hand, she latched onto the young man, who still held a gun in one hand. His pale face smiled above a blood-soaked torso.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Don't worry. I'll always be here to protect you.
I know you will.
Tears spilled from her eyes. Just then,
there's the way out!
A pale gray light enveloped the world. Dee was in the lead, but the wagon was close behind, seeming to pounce like some gigantic animal as it bounded out into the moonlight. The horse's hooves and wagon wheels sank into the sand.
Yahoo! We're out!
Granny tightly gripped the reins with the other. She prepared to apply the brakes.
Keep moving.
Before she could finish asking why, the door opened and the girl burst out. Her hands and bosom were bright red with fresh blood.
What's wrong?
It's the forest. The forest!
The forest!
The forest wasn't shrinking into the distance. Rather, it was getting closer. The whole expanse of trees head toward them like a wave of epic proportions.
Dee! Is this another mirage?
No, it's real.
You don't say. In that case, I should be able to deal with it too.
Shifting the reins to her left hand, the old woman went for the jar on her hip with her right, the source of the same insane power that had wiped out the sand people in a heartbeat out in the desert. What sort of picture could the sand from her jar paint? Knees far apart, Granny pulled her hand out of the jar. Beautiful colors poured smoothly from her tightly balled fist before spreading across the floor of the wagon. Granny gave a series of small shakes to her hand, but just what sort of unearthly rite were her five fingers working as they held that sand? Flowing steady and unbroken like a thread, The sand seemed unaffected by the motion of the vehicle, or else it incorporated the jolts into its design. Though somewhat fuzzy, the image that formed at the crone's feet was clearly something that existed in the world. It was, in fact, the very forest that was coming up behind them now. Granny's hand halted. The picture was complete. Now, all she had to do was...
Mrs. Viper! Clay's been left back in the woods!
How the blazes did that happen?
I dropped the glow bugs. Then, after a while, I couldn't hear him behind us anymore.
Damnation!
The edge of the forest was following less than 20 yards behind them.
That bastard Clay! Do you suppose he's dead?
I don't know.
He's dead. I'm sure of it.
No.
Dee looked over his shoulder. Following his lead, Granny stopped breathing. Perhaps she caught the faintest of sounds. A black spot suddenly appeared in the otherwise unbroken wall of tree trunks, and from it bounded a figure on horseback. Wildly kicking up sand, the rider chased along after them. Now, out in the moonlight, Clay was licking his lips, and then suddenly the warrior's body lurched wildly forward. His horse had caught its leg on something. As the beast nosed into the ground with a great cloud of dust, Clay sailed over its head, curling himself up in a ball. Amazingly, he landed on his feet when he hit the ground. The way he straightened smoothly from the landing was superbly acrobatic. However, instead of landing his feet, the forest behind him merely continued its silent advance. There was no time to make a dash for his cyborg horse. Clay's right hand grasped his harp, but no matter how far and wide the deadly sounds could fly from his weapon, the warrior was up against a vast forest that was miles across. The number of trees that disappeared must have been in the hundreds. But that wasn't enough. Clay watched absentmindedly as the wall of colossal trees loomed over him. But even in the depths of his despair, he managed to hear something running up behind him, as only the greatest of frontier warriors might. Even before he knew for sure, it was the low rumble of hoofbeats. He launched himself into the air. He had no idea as to the distance or speed of the rider. Well-honed instinct was all he had to rely on, but that was enough to put the warrior's massive frame squarely on the back of Dee's horse. By the time the shadow of the forest swallowed the spot Dee had previously occupied, the cyborg horse had galloped 40 feet ahead.
Looks like that's another one I owe you.
Save your thanks for Granny.
How's that?
She told me to go save you.
Sheesh! What an old busybody.
In a matter of seconds, their horses were alongside the wagon.
The forest is picking up speed.
We can't outrun it.
A second later, Clay's eyes went wide. The wagon had engaged its emergency brake. At the same time, Dee halted as well.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Just you wait and see! Watch what I can do!
The weird sand painting at Granny's feet was still completely intact. While it wasn't all that large, Clay could still make it out clearly in the moonlight. Knitting his brow, he looked to the rear, at the vast forest pursuing them. That's what her picture was. The pattern that had emerged on the ground was the moon and a desert and a forest. The very same forest, rolling after them to swallow them all. Clay forgot all about taking flight. No matter how they struggled, victory seemed impossible. In seemingly impossible cases, he'd normally flee without a backward glance. That was the way Clay was. The only way he and his brother had remained alive and famous for so long was by avoiding futile battles. But now Clay was caught in a raging storm of desire to see the old woman work her magic with his own eyes. A desire that suppressed even the strongest of human urges, that of self-preservation. A mountainous shadow hid the stars. The chain of enormous trees bearing down on them was like some demonic beast. Clay's field of view was far wider than that of an ordinary person, and it now held two spectacles, Granny and the forest. The old woman leaned far forward. Her tiny chest swelled to nearly twice its normal size. And then, with all the force of a bent fire dragon, bones snapping back into shape, the old woman leaned forward in the driver's seat and violently expelled the breath in her lungs through her pursed lips, scattering dazzling colors in the moonlight. The sand painting blew away.
Holy shit!
Now bending forward from the overwhelming mass of the vast forest behind them, the foremost rank of trees was suddenly touched with a blinding iridescence, and a second later, they had utterly vanished, like dust driven before a mighty gale. All around Dee and Clay, the latter of whom sat dumbfounded on the back of the hunter's steed, glittering particles of light drifted down from the sky. While Clay realized they were the grains of sand that Granny had scattered, he didn't even have the strength to hold his hand out to catch some. The desert lay flat in the moonlight. It all seemed like a dream. Granny pounded on the small of her back up in the driver's seat. Her face looked strangely exhausted.
That was a heck of a thing to be doing at my age. Would it be okay if we took a breather, Dee?
Your wagon has an autopilot setting, doesn't it?
Oh, you're a heartless one. You know that? You want an old lady like me at death's door up here bumping along like no one's business? Our wagon's controls aren't really in the best condition either. Left to its own devices, there's no telling where this thing may end up.
That forest was just a sample to test our strength. We didn't hurt the desert that badly. It'll attack us again.
Okay, already!
Just then, Tate came out of the vehicle.
What is it?
Lance is dead.